Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast of Cities of for Our Future, where we dream, think, and design places from a sustainable perspective. This is Christian speaking to you, sharing the floor with Margot, as always, my colleague here. How are you doing?
Hi, Christian. I am doing really fine on this day. I'm actually very excited about hosting a new episode of Cities for Our Future with you today.
Me too. It's a very interesting thing that we will be talking about today. Sustainable cities, it's the topic, and a main focus on the political ground within the, like, trying to use this concept of social innovation to understand how communities get empowered. So we will try to uncover the process of this political empowerment of the people by analyzing two initiatives from communities on each side of the world. That is why we have some guests invited. We will introduce them in a while. They are from the US, Massachusetts, and from Seoul in South Korea. So they will be talking about their projects that are actually running in their communities. But first, we will briefly go through the concepts of sustainable cities and social innovation to have a general idea of what they mean, of course.
Yes, indeed, Christian. In order to have a discussion on this topic, we first need to get an idea of what sustainable cities really are. And in order to get a grasp of this concept, we actually went to interview some people in the city of Brussels and asked them to describe what sustainable cities are to them in a few words. And this is what they responded.
When I think of a sustainable city, I think of lots of greens on the building, more place for pedestrians and cyclists, urban farming, communities that can grow their own fruit and vegetables, local agriculture and produce, poverty reduction, climate justice, solar panels, and low waste initiatives.
Aspects of a sustainable city are air quality, mobility, green public spaces, inclusiveness of all citizens.
A sustainable city has an infrastructure that is bicycle friendly and that ensures a better and effective public transportation system that will make people get faster to their destination than taking a car.
This should contain a circular economy, clean air, a richer biodiversity than we meet today in the cities, the creation of common goods, and a large participation of as many citizens as possible. That's for me the city of the future.
Well, I was kind of expecting this answer, you know, these things like air quality, participation, of course, green spaces usually comes up in these debates, and people are very aware of these issues in the city. What do you think, Margot?
Yes, indeed, Christian. It seems like they mentioned the well-known stuff, right? Like renewable energy, green spaces, recycling waste and stuff. But I wonder what the definition from like a professional organization would look like.
Sure, we have here like a definition from the institution, like the institutional definition we will call it, about this sustainable development goal, the 11th, that was agreed in the Paris Treaty in the 2015. From the United Nations, it says making cities sustainable means creating career and business opportunities, safe and affordable housing, and building resilient societies and economies. It involves investment in public transport, creating green public spaces, and improving urban planning and management in participatory and inclusive ways.
Well, that's quite a contrast with the definitions given by the people from Brussels, right?
What do you think, Christian? Yeah, they share some topics like participation, but they mention it like in a shy way, you know, in this institutional definition. Also, there is not too much reference into the social aspect of sustainability.
Indeed. It seems like they really zoom in, like the professional definition really zooms in on the economic and business aspect of social innovation.
Yep.
It appears to me that the social part of sustainability is often forgotten when people are describing this concept. But to me, like, this seems like a really important part of creating sustainable cities, right? The social part. And in order to obtain the social aspect of sustainability and sustainable communities, this can be implemented via social innovation, right, Christian?
Yes, in fact, social innovation, you can refer like as a concept, we have actually practices and projects that use this this way in which like a group of people act together in order to meet their needs, these needs that usually the market and the state are not capable anymore to deliver them. Some examples can be the proper housing, access to basic services, green spaces for recreation, among others. And in that sense, we can see that social innovation is kind of a reaction to the neoliberal policies that have been around for the past 3-4 decades. Now, from the research perspective about this topic, what we found is that the social innovation projects usually has 3 basic core features: the satisfaction of needs, the collective action, and finally, the empowerment and political mobilization of the community.
Yes, so like we mentioned before, to give you guys an understanding of what a social innovative project really is, we invited Kang Min from South Korea and Zoe from Massachusetts to talk about the projects that are currently going on in their communities. So hi Zoe, hi Kang Min, thank you for coming today.
Hello, thank you for inviting me to the show.
Hi, this is Zoe, and thanks again so much for having me.
Of course, no, it's our pleasure to have you here, guys. So starting with you, Kangmin, can you tell us a little bit or can you describe in a general way what's your project about?
Yes, Songmi-sang community is located below Mountain Songmi in Seoul. And from there, we provide an ecological lifestyle in a wide range from education, public green spaces, eco-friendly consumption, and also reduction of greenhouse gas emission. The essential part of our community is that we started building this ecological town from a grassroots movement where we first protected our mountain from being turned into a residential area. And from this collective action, we began to realize that the needs and change must be made within ourselves.
That sounds really interesting, Engman. We will certainly pick up on that later. But first, we'll switch to Zoe. If I'm correct, the city where you come from has also been engaging in community empowerment, but by using their own form of currency. Can you tell us more about that as a local citizen?
Yes, thank you, Margot, and you're exactly right. I live in the Berkshires, which is a region in Massachusetts. And in our community, we are very proud to have our own community currency system, which we call the Berkshire. And this was created to produce a circular economy where the Berkshire can never leave our region. So anyone can convert dollars to Berkshires at any of the 5 local bank branches in our area. Right now, the currency conversion rate is $95, and you can exchange this to get 100 Berkshires.
Well, nice. It came to our mind. Well, I know that the local currencies are indeed a practice that has been growing in different parts of the world. It came to my mind, the documentary Tomorrow, that I will totally suggest.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. I don't know if you have seen it.
Yeah, I have, and I highly suggest that all listeners should watch this documentary, and it describes many different social innovation projects.
Yep. It would be interesting to know how these projects were developed from the beginning. I mean, what were the socio-political conditions and factors that put the community into action?
Well, most transformation starts from the local level. So it is the community who is much more aware of what needs to be changed, and it depends on the people in the community who realize the problems at hand and want transformation. So our community also started from being aware of what needs to be changed after the protest around Mount Sangmi. And so we began to put lots of debates upon the surface, first by de-empowering ourselves.
Sure. Well, usually political mobilization in the way of protests serves for these purposes. What about you? So it's a kind of a similar situation?
Yeah, definitely. The Berkshire was started in a manner quite similar to Gongmin's, where the initiation was completely begun by the residents of the Berkshires. And this happened in the late 1990s when the Berkshire region became a really touristy area. And community members were starting to notice that the local prices were increasing because of this rise in tourism, but the local wages actually remained the same. And to add to this problem, one of the biggest employers, General Electrics, left the Berkshires, and many people lost their jobs. So because of this situation, the community was hit rather hard because of the economy in place, which was subjective to the national economic norms. And eventually, the citizens called a town meeting where the residents raised the point that they wanted their own local currency. And here, the idea for the Berkshire was born.
Perfect. Well, we would like to zoom in on this political side. We can see that there are some commonalities in both of the projects. And as both of them, as us, both of you have already said, there is this political reaction from the genesis of the projects. What do you think, Margot?
Yes, indeed. It seems like empowerment of the local people is really important, especially to create a governance system that is accessible for every level of the community. But then my question is, how do communities reach this empowerment? Like, Gangmin, can you tell us how your community was empowered?
Yes. As I have previously mentioned, our community earned empowerment through a series of protests to protect one and only mountain in our district. So we were defending against Seoul municipality and also private companies who were trying to demolish the forest to build residential areas. After 2 years of protesting, the local government decided to withhold their planning. And from this, we realized that empowerment gives us the opportunity to engage in governance. What I mean by this is that all voices are to be represented.
Well, I totally support the way that you react, and yeah, it seems like an interesting way how this empowerment process went in your community. But I'm a little I wonder, like, if the last thing that you said, that all voices are to be represented, is it really like that? Or there are some groups that have more political power within the community, for instance?
Well, it is kind of impossible to have all voices actually represented, but we try our best to have them represented fairly, whether if it's personal matter or collective motivation.
Yeah, sure. Well, I thought that, what about you? So it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the same. And the short answer is that, of course, not all voices are representative. And in the Berkshires, it means that not every resident exchanges dollars to Berkshires, and not every local business is accredited to the Berkshires. Therefore, those who choose not to use the Berkshire is not benefiting from the project.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think that the fair representation is a key feature to have, like, this social sustainability of the projects, but it's a difficult thing to achieve. So in the same line, can you explain the type of governance that you have? Because that's also linked with how much empowerment the communities can have. Like, basically, which is the role that the citizens play in the decision-making processes?
Well, currently, we now form bottom-linked governance with the local government, where enacting policies are not dictated from any one level of governance, but rather with support and cooperation with each other. So through this process, our community participated in city planning of Seoul several times. And we were able to design bicycle roads and routes throughout our district, and also prohibit use of cars in certain alleyways.
Well, Gangmin, that is definitely a great story of the people of your community actually coming together in order to work together to improve their own city. But going back to you, Zoe, from what you told me, the Berkshires was started by the local people, correct? Can you elaborate more on how the people that do participate in the Berkshire have become empowered?
Yeah, definitely. And first, I'll just tell you how I feel empowered. And this is through where I know my voice is heard, because when I spend my money every time I shop locally, I'm helping my community and not giving in to the economic norm, which has devastated so many communities. And in our community entirely, I know empowerment has been shown through an increase in social relations. And this is with both community members and the business owners. Right now, we are a vibrant region where there's understanding of the importance to share ideas, work together, and to communicate constantly with each other.
Whoa, that's actually really great. It certainly seems like you guys in the Berkshire and in CU actually have grasped the idea of social innovation and use it to empower your communities. It also seems to me, from what I heard from this discussion, that it's really important for the people of the community to act and to communicate and participate in the governance of their own community, right? Christine, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the main future of these social innovative projects, like put the community in the center of the discussion and also in the action. You know, and not just in the design. We are like kind of tired of just this consulting, participate waves of top down policies. Now, what we see in the cases of Soy and Gangmin is that people is reacting to this configuration of their cities, this focus on the economic revenues. So the only thing that is kind of a pity is this, what we talk about, the representation of all groups. But as a whole, I can see that these concrete cases can give us like a good idea of how collective action and empowerment can give rise to nice initiatives, you know?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I'd just like to add too that it's just been so interesting for me to see that Gangmin's project on the other side of the world has had so many links and similarities to the social innovation project that we have in our town.
Yeah, I actually really look forward to hearing about both of your projects, how they will evolve further in the future and how, I don't know, how it will work out in the future.
Yeah, certainly, Margot. As Zoe just said, even if they are like coming from two different sides of the world, they share a lot of commonalities. This participation feature that we mentioned, you know, it was a pleasure to have you here, and hopefully we can catch up on your projects in the future also.
Yes, indeed. So Zoe, Gangmin, before we say goodbye, do you guys have any last words or a message that you would like to share with the audience to empower them?
Yes. So to everyone at home, I hope this conversation has helped you guys to have a better understanding about the potential that communities have to tackle social problems by means of collective action and empowerment.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add in a quote that I want all our listeners to hear about empowerment. And this was said by Gloria Steinem, and she quotes, "Power can be taken, but not given. The process of taking is empowerment itself." So I just like all of you guys to think a bit about this quote, and I hope it gives you another outlook on how you can view empowerment.
That's sure a beautiful quote, Zoe, and it definitely sums up this podcast as a whole. Well, thanks again, guys, for coming to this podcast today.
So we will just leave you with a song to say goodbye, and remember to always take the power back.